All right, welcome back everyone to the Deep Dive. We're diving into a really, really important case today in insurance law.
Oh, absolutely. A foundational case, really.
Yeah, and this one goes way back, but still super relevant even today. It's called Farmers Insurance Exchange v. Henderson.
Farmers Insurance Exchange v. Henderson, classic case, Arizona Supreme Court.
And, you know, this case really gets at the heart of, you know, how insurance companies, how are they supposed to handle claims? What are their responsibilities?
Exactly. To the policyholders.
Yeah.
Their insureds, right. I mean, that's the big question.
That's the big question, yeah. And this case is a perfect example. I mean, like, it shows what can happen when an insurance company decides, you know, we're not going to settle within the policy limits. And boy, oh boy, sometimes that really backfires.
Spectacularly. I mean, this is a case where it really, really backfired.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I think is so interesting about this case is that it kind of highlights that, you know, tension that exists for insurance companies, right? Because on the one hand, they want to manage their money well, right? They want to keep costs down.
Of course. That's their business.
Hmm. But at the same time, they have this obligation, this fundamental duty to protect their policyholders, to protect their insured from financial ruin, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. And this case really draws that line in the sand. Like, where do those priorities actually lie? Where should they lie?
Exactly. So let's paint a picture here.
Yeah.
So we've got a guy, his name is George Henderson. And he's got an auto insurance policy with Farmers Insurance Exchange.
Pretty standard
policy. Yeah. We're talking $5,000 in bodily injury coverage for one person.
Okay.
$10,000 total for an accident, and then $5,000 for property damage.
Yeah.
So $15,000 total policy limit.
Right. So pretty standard policy limits at the time, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So one day, one of Henderson's employees is driving Henderson's car, gets into an accident. And the other person involved is Mr. Charles Breesman.
Okay. And this is where it all starts, right? This accident.
This is where it all begins. Yeah. So, you know, as often happens in these situations, you know, after an accident, there's attempts to settle a claim, right? You try to work things out.
Right. And these initial offers and how they're handled become critical.
Absolutely critical. So Breesman, he comes forward and he makes an offer, you know, to settle. And it seemed like a pretty reasonable offer at the time.
What was he asking for?
So for his personal injury claim, he wanted $4,000.
Okay.
And for property damage, about $1,300.
So a little over $5,000 in total.
Yeah, like $5,300 or so. So well within Henderson's policy limits, right?
Right. Way under the $15,000 total.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting. Farmers, they said, nope. Not going to do it.
They rejected the settlement offer.
They rejected it flat out.
Wow. That's really the heart of the issue, isn't it? That refusal to settle when it was, you know, right there within the policy limits. What was their thinking? I mean, do we know?
Well, you know, we don't have like the inside scoop on their exact thought process. We don't have, you know, memos or anything like that. But we do know that the Arizona Supreme Court, they really looked at this decision and they really scrutinized it because this decision to not settle, it really set off this chain of events and it did not end well for their insured, for Henderson.
No, I mean, it can't have, right? If they don't settle and the case goes to trial, well, there's a risk that the judgment's going to be higher than the policy limits.
And that's exactly what happened. So because they didn't settle this case, it goes to trial. And guess what the jury decides?
When they decide.
They slapped Henderson with a verdict of $18,284.
Wow.
Way more.
Way over his limit.
Way more than his $10,000 bodily injury limit and the $5,000 property damage limit combined.
So now Henderson is on the hook personally for this big chunk of money. I mean, what did Farmers do at that point? Did they step in and cover at least the policy limits?
Well, you would think, right. I mean, you would think that would be the next logical step. But nope, they didn't.
They still didn't pay.
Still refused to pay. Even after this huge verdict, they wouldn't pay out the policy limits to stop the judgment from being enforced while they were thinking about, oh, should we appeal? Should we not?
And I'm guessing that inaction had some real-world consequences for Henderson.
Yeah. And it's It's not pretty. So because they didn't pay to satisfy that judgment, guess what happened? They seized his business property.
Oh, wow. That's a whole other level. I mean, it goes beyond just the accident, beyond the initial lawsuit. This is affecting his livelihood now.
Exactly. This is serious stuff. So you can imagine, you know, Henderson, he's not happy. Mm. Rightfully so. So he sues farmers.
Yeah. I mean, I would too.
And he says, look, you guys, you acted in bad faith.
Right.
You had a chance to settle this thing. It was within my policy limits. You didn't. Now I'm on the hook for all this money. You seized my property.
And what happened with that lawsuit?
So he actually won. The jury awarded Henderson $45,000.
So just to clarify, we've got the initial, what was it, $18,000 judgment against Henderson from the accident?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Henderson himself gets a $45,000 judgment against farmers.
Against farmers.
Wow.
Yeah, for how they handle the claim. So this case, this whole thing goes all the way up to the Arizona Supreme Court.
So the real question before the Arizona Supreme Court, I guess, was did farmers breach its duty, its legal duty of good faith to Henderson by refusing to settle, right, within the policy limits?
Yeah. Yeah, the question is, did they breach their duty of good faith by not settling within the policy limits? And by doing so, expose him to all this extra liability, all this extra financial burden.
Right. So what did the court say?
They agreed with Henderson, the Arizona Supreme Court. They said, yes, farmers, you acted in bad faith.
Wow. So what was their reasoning there? What was it that made them come to that conclusion?
So their reasoning really comes down to this one really crucial principle in insurance law.
Okay.
And it's this idea of equal consideration.
Okay.
So when an insurance company gets a settlement offer, they have to give equal consideration to their insured's financial interests as they do to their own.
Yeah. Like they can't just be thinking about saving themselves money.
Exactly. Exactly. They can't just be thinking about their bottom line. They have to think about, okay, what's the potential financial risk here for my policyholder?
Yeah. It's kind of like you see this kind of duty in other relationships too, like fiduciary relationships where, you know, one party has this responsibility to act in the best interests of the other. I mean, think about, you know, a lawyer and their client.
Exactly. Like a lawyer can't just be thinking about their own interests. They got to be thinking about their client's interests.
Right, right, right.
And so the court looked at what farmers did and they said, look, you know, it seems like you guys were just trying to save a little bit of money.
Yeah. How much were we talking about here?
You know, the difference between the policy limit and that settlement offer, it was like $1,200.
$1,200.
Yeah, $1,200. And they were willing to expose Henderson to this risk of over $18,000.
That's a huge difference. It's not even close.
Not even close. So they were basically playing roulette with his financial well-being.
Yeah, to save, what, $1,200 for the company?
Exactly. And you know, farmers, they tried to make a couple arguments.
What were their arguments?
So first they said, look, you know, our insurance policy, it gives us the right to control the settlement process.
Okay, so they're leaning on the contract?
Yeah, they're like, hey, the contract says we get to decide whether or not to settle.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But the court was like, yeah, you have that right, but that right is not absolute.
Right.
You can't use that right to act in bad faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just completely ignore what's best for your insured.
Which is a really, really important point, I think, for anyone studying law, is that these contractual rights, they're not, you know, they're not absolute. There's always this underlying duty of good faith and fair dealing. And you can't just use the power that's granted to you in a contract to be unreasonable.
Exactly. And their other argument was, well, we didn't have to pay anything while we were appealing that verdict.
Oh, so they're saying during the appeal process, all bets are off.
Yeah, yeah. But the court again said, no, that's not how this works. They said, you know, paying the policy limit at that point, it probably would have prevented them from having to seize Henderson's property.
Right, because that was a direct result of them not paying.
Exactly. So the court was saying,
yeah,
this duty of good faith, it doesn't just go away while you're appealing. You still have a responsibility to try and protect your insured.
Yeah. It's a continuing obligation.
So this case is huge because it really kind of set this two-part test that courts use now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To figure out if an insurance company acted in bad faith by not settling.
Okay. So what are the two parts of this test?
So part one, they look at how likely was it that a judgment would go over the policy limits.
So they're looking at, like, the severity of the plaintiff's injuries. How likely is it that the insured's going to be found liable?
Exactly. And then part two, they look at the risk.
Okay.
What's the risk to the insured of having to pay that extra amount if the judgment goes over the limits?
Right. So that's like that excess judgment, the amount beyond the policy limit.
Exactly. And then they compare that to the risk to the insurance company of settling.
Right. So is it a bigger risk for the insured to go to trial, or is it bigger risk for the insurance company to settle?
Right. And in this case, the court was like, it was way riskier for Henderson.
Yeah. I mean, way riskier.
Way riskier. And they also had some really strong words about Farmer's conduct. Like they said, an insurer which completely ignores the insured's interests cannot be said to have acted in good faith.
Oh, that's a good quote.
And they also said, the wrong involved is causing the destruction of the insured's property in satisfaction of the company's obligation.
Ooh.
So they're basically saying you're destroying this guy's livelihood to save yourself a few bucks.
Yeah. Those are really powerful statements.
Yeah. And so what's the big takeaway here? What can law students, what can everybody learn from this case? Well, it's this. Insurance companies, they can be held liable for the whole amount of a judgment against their insured.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it goes over the policy limits.
Right, right.
If they acted in bad faith.
Yeah, if they had a reasonable chance to settle and they didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, an insurance policy, it's a contract.
Right.
But it also has this, what some people call a fiduciary-like duty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just a pure business transaction.
Right. The insurance company has a lot of power.
They do. They control the claims process.
They control it. And so they have this responsibility to use that power fairly to think about what's best for their insured.
Yeah. They have that responsibility to their policyholders to really be thinking about their best interests.
So Farmers Insurance Exchange v. Henderson, It's a landmark case.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely foundational.
It's a constant reminder to insurance companies that they can't just put profits over people.
Yeah. They gotta think about both sides of the equation.
They got to think about their policyholders.
Right. Their insureds.
So, you know, as you're thinking about this case, think about how this idea of equal consideration, how does it apply in other situations? You know?
Yeah, that's a great question.
In other contracts. What happens when one party has a lot of power?
Yeah. What are their obligations?
What are their ethical responsibilities?
Right. How does that power dynamic shift things?
Yeah. It's something to think about. All right. Well, thanks for diving into this case with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.